to them. And everybody that's online today, welcome. If you're joining us from other parts of the town, the state, the country, the world, welcome here to San Marcos. We're glad that you're here. And some of you are listening online right now, welcome to the Promised Land podcast. We're glad that you're joining us wherever you are, whenever you are. This is available online 24/7. So wherever you're listening, whenever you're listening to this, we are thankful to have you with us. Let's give all those online a hand right now and welcome them. And let's jump into the message here today. I love my church. Anybody else here love your church? When we say we love our church, we're not talking about the building or the organization or the property or anything else. We're saying that we love the people of the church because that's what the church is. The church is built with people. That's what the church is. And so I love you. I love me. I love we. I love us. I love us being together. And life really is more than just about me. Life is about we. God created Adam. That was me. That was one. He created one, Adam. And it was the one part of the creation story where it doesn't say he said, he didn't say it is good. And in fact, he waited until after Eve was created. And then he said it was what? Very good. It was very good once there was multiple human beings together with God, we, plural, people, us, family. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I know that you know what I'm talking about because you're here, your kids are here, you keep having more kids, and so obviously you understand what this is all about. And we're glad about it. We love everyone. Every time we have new pregnancies, we celebrate that. In fact, we just had a baby dedication up here in the second service, and we celebrate that. We're thankful every time we gets bigger, every time we get more folks here at the Promised Land. We love it. We love we. If you think that life is about you or that life is centered around you, then you live a pretty difficult and miserable life. Every once in a while, it's exciting because you're winning and you're succeeding or you're looking forward to something coming up. But a lot of times you're struggling because you think that your life is not good as it could be or should be. But when you start realizing that God created family, God created we, God created more than just you, then man, all of a sudden your perspective on everything changes. And so November is the time of year that the weather finally starts cooling down. We can actually get outside and enjoy the weather. Our teenagers on Wednesday night, every Wednesday night, teenagers get together here at Promised Land. If you have junior high and high school students, get them here on Wednesday nights, 6:30. Get them here. It lasts till about 8 or 8:15. Anyway, this past Wednesday night, they had this big idea to have a bonfire. You know, it's fall and it's cool outside. It's supposed to be cool outside. They had this enormous bonfire, and it was so hot outside, and the bonfire was so hot that they had these sticks, and they were roasting marshmallows and hot dogs on them, but it was so hot that they could barely, it was just miserable. And but they didn't want to give up on the fire because bonfires are so fun and all that kind of stuff. We have a picture, but not with us, but it's on our Facebook page where they're laying on the ground and they're extending their arms as far as they can without getting scalded. But the weather's here finally. It's a little cool outside. And we're going to keep on doing bonfires and having fun because even though it's cool outside, this time of year for me, especially November, is really a warm time emotionally and psychologically because we're with family. We travel. We take off of work. We go visit family in other parts of the state or the country and just get away, take time, take a break, take off of work, quit thinking about the day-to-day operations and activities and just spend time with family. And it's such a warm time to hang out and just do nothing. Just eat a lot of food and watch TV and get outside a little bit, enjoy the weather. And so that's why we've sort of claimed November as I Love My Church Month, because the family of God, the family that God has placed us in here at San Marcos, is really, really a special place. It's a really a special entity that exists here. And if you're not a part of Promised Land San Marcos, maybe you're here for the first time today, or you've just been coming for a few weeks, we want to tell you right off the bat that you're welcome here, that we want you to be a part of our family. We're not going to try to be sneaky about that. We're going to be obvious about that. We want you to join our church. We want you to join our family because we love you and we want to connect with you. No matter who you are, no matter what you come from, no matter what you have to offer, doesn't matter. We want you to be a part of our family. Let's look at Ephesians, the second chapter. So quiet today. Ephesians, the second chapter, the 19th verse. Turn there with me if you've got a Bible, if you've got a device that you can get on the Bible with. Ephesians 2:19, foundational scripture about family life at Promised Land San Marcos. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. That message right there is to every single person in this building today. Everybody watching online today, no matter who you are, you don't have to be a stranger any longer. You don't have to be a foreigner any longer. You can belong. You can be a citizen. You can have rights and privileges of anybody else, of the people that you see in here. Everybody in here be eligible to be in the family of God, not because of who you are or what you're going to accomplish or what you're going to do in your life, but because of who Jesus Christ is. And he welcomes you into his family today to be a family member. The gospel of Jesus Christ is really all about adoption. To be welcomed into a family where you have previously had no rights, no privileges. You had a different family name. You had a different heritage, different bloodline, different everything. And Jesus steps onto the timeline of the world and says, from now on, anyone that is born, anyone that would call on the name of me, Jesus Christ, anyone that would call, this is a wide open door policy. Whosoever would call on the name of the Lord will be a part of my family. You're welcome. Come on in. Come on in. Be a part of our family. We love you. You're welcome here. You may not have a life that you're proud of or that you think fits here at a church where there's a bunch of all these other holy people. And the longer you get here, the more you realize they're not all that holy really either. They're getting cleaned up. God's working on them, but he's going to start working on you too. We're all works in progress here at Promised Land San Marcos. So just come on and join the rest of us messed up, forgiven people that God is working on. So you're citizens. Come on in. Welcome. Be members of the family. Sit at the table. Enjoy life with us here. Verse 20, together we are his house built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. So what he's saying in verse 21 is every time we gather together, we are creating an atmosphere and a place for God's presence to dwell and move and have his way. That's why we gather every single Sunday. We want to get together. We want to create a place, an atmosphere for the presence of God to actually move through. Did you know that the presence of God is flowing, it's moving, it is progressing throughout the world today? It's not stale and stagnant. It's not a reservoir. It's a river. And it's seeking any being, any group of people that will say, we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to come and be with us. So he says we are carefully joined together, becoming a holy temple, becoming a place, a conduit, a container with both ends knocked out. We don't want to just receive, receive, and receive. We want to be a place, and we are becoming a place, a temple that the Lord's presence comes in and flows out of. And so when we leave this place on Sunday morning, we are taking that same presence that God has deposited and downloaded into us, and we are sending it out. Every conversation that we have, the emails, the texts, the hugs, the handshakes, the business deals, whatever you're doing in your life, when you leave the family of God like this and you go out into the world, you're becoming the salt of the earth, the light of the world, a city set on a hill, making a difference wherever you go. And all right, let's keep going. Verse 22, through him, you Gentiles, that's all of the sinners, all the people out here that have screwed your life up and messed up your life and all that. All of us messed up people are being made a part. You're belonging now. You're belonging. You belong. You're part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. And that's really what the church is. I love my church. I love these people that have come here and said, yes, I want to be in on this. I want to take part in this. I want to be a part of this place. And we welcome everybody in here today that wants to be a part of this. We're going to keep on growing as a church family and moving as a church family. And it hasn't always been like this. I know some of you are brand new to Promised Land. You say, wow, this church must have just always been like this. It really hasn't. 12 years ago, we began. And we began with about 30 people. And we have a picture here. That's me and my wife, Erica, standing at the front facing the congregation. There was about 30 adults at this point that were calling Promised Land their home. The man that's behind me is Kenneth Phillips. He was my pastor growing up. And he started this little gathering about 4 months before this picture was taken. And he led the church for about 4 months, and then he said, next Friday night, everybody come, we're going to announce who your pastor is going to be from now on. None of them had the idea that I was going to be the pastor. I was the sound guy back on the sound board, just turning knobs, minding my own business, you know what I'm saying? And no one had the idea that I was going to be the pastor, except for maybe my wife, and did you know? My parents possibly, and he says, okay, everybody come next Friday night. So this was the next Friday night. Everybody comes. He says, your pastor is going to be Robin Steele. Come on down. So Erica and I walked to the front, and we stood at the front just like this, and he said, this is your pastor and his wife. Okay, God bless you all. We're out. We're out of here. Y'all go have church in San Marcos. You're on your own. And that's how we started. About 30 people just believing God, knowing that he was in it, knowing he was going to do something great. But I remember back then just thinking, I just wish we had a building of our own. I wish we just had a place where we could call our own a home base. And so for 2 years, we were mobile, going from different place to different place, met on Texas State Campus and Outkick Teaching Theater for 2 years. Finally, God opened up a miracle place right here on Lime Kiln Road. This building wasn't even here yet. It was that building over there. And then God just began to produce a lot of growth in our congregation. We began to grow, and we added a service, then we added another service, and then we said in 2010, let's build another building that we can increase the size of our capacity. So in 2011, we started raising money to build this building that you're sitting in right here, and then it filled up. We added another service. Now this is our second week of having three services right here. And I remember thinking after just thing I wish we had a place. I thought, man, if we had 500 people in our church, that just blew my mind. I thought, man, we'd just have this massive church, and that would be such a success and like such a pinnacle. And if we had 500 people, I was nervous. I was worried. Like, am I going to get complacent? Am I just going to give up at that point? Say, well, we've arrived, and you know, I'm going to get fat and happy with 500 people. And 500 people came and went a long time ago, and God's still stirring something up inside of me. And I'm not done yet. I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. And I hope there's some other folks that are ready to keep on going. Yeah. Here's the deal. When we're faithful to the message, and not get stuck in our ways, God produces growth in our life. And this is really a great principle for your own personal life too. If you don't get stuck in your ways about this is the way life is supposed to be, this is the way I thought life was going to be, this is the way I thought he was going to act like this, and I thought she was going to act like that. And sometimes people get so caught up in the way they thought life should go that they don't realize that God is bigger than the way you thought life should go. He can take a messed up life and turn it into something beautiful and amazing that's much beyond, further out from our control. So here's the message. This is the, I have one point today, and it's pretty long, but this is the one point today. I love my church because it will never change its message, but it's not afraid to change its methods. I love my church because it will never change its message, but it's not afraid to change its methods. You see the distinction between those two. Let me just clarify a little bit about what I'm talking about. The message that Promised Land San Marcos is all about, that will never change, is that Jesus Christ is the answer for the world. Jesus Christ is going to redeem this earth. This earth is broken, it is dark, it is filled with hate and anger and destruction. But Jesus came to the earth because God so loved the world. God so loved the whole thing that he didn't want to scrap it and start over. Instead, he chose to redeem the world. And it all began when Jesus Christ came, lived on the earth a perfect life, took on the world's ugliness and the world's sin, and then ultimately paid the price for that darkness and that despair when he went to the cross and gave his life. He died on the cross. He was buried. He died. He took our place of what we deserve of death and destruction and hell. He took on that price. And then the Bible says he rose on the third day, that whosoever will, anybody who wants to come into the house today, anybody that wants to come into the family, there's passage after passage in the New Testament. Jesus said it, whosoever will. Peter says it in Acts 2, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is who could be saved? Who could become a child of God? Who could be eligible? And what he says is anyone. Anyone who calls on me will become eligible once I put my life and my love and my energy on this person, my forgiveness. I can turn anyone into a saved son or daughter of God. Doesn't matter who they are, doesn't matter where they come from. Jesus has come to tell you today that he wants to save you and wants to help you get on with your life and move forward. Amen. That's the message. That will never change. At Promised Land San Marcos, we're never going to graduate from that message. We're never going to get to a point where we say, well, we better change some things about the message because it's not working. It's always going to work. Jesus is never going to run out of energy. He's never going to run out of power. He's never going to run out of love. It is further and beyond and more than we could ever imagine or think. It's Jesus. That's our message. It's Jesus Christ, him crucified, buried, and resurrected. And that message comes from one key place. That's the Bible, the scriptures. We stand on the Bible and we believe that the Bible is true and accurate. At Promised Land San Marcos, our church family understands that our culture, that our society will always be trying to water it down and cheapen it and mimic it and mock it and think and say that it's ancient, that it's not right, that it's not eligible to be some sort of life guide. But at Promised Land San Marcos, that will never change. The fact that we believe that the Word of God is alive and well and breathing in our life. I got a few things I want to say about the Bible. Y'all ready for this? I don't think you're ready. The first two services struggled. Well, you gave me some water because I need it. Are y'all ready for this? Yes. I might need a towel or something. The Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Anybody witness to that out there? Yes. You should memorize it. You should store it. In the Bible is the mind of God. In the Bible is the state of man. the doom of sin, the way of salvation, the happiness of the believers. The Bible's doctrine is holy. Its precepts are binding, and its history is true. You can read it and be wise, believe it and be saved, practice it and be holy. It contains light to direct. It has food to sustain you. It can comfort you. It can cheer you. It's the traveler's mount. It's the pilgrim's staff. It's the Christian's charter. There's nothing like the Word of God. There, heaven is open, the gates of hell closed. Jesus is the grand subject, and the glory of God is its end. It shall fill the memory. It should rule the heart. It should guide the feet. Read it slowly. Read it frequently. Read it prayerfully. It's the mind of wealth, the river of pleasure. It is given to you here in this life. It will be open to us in judgment. It is forever settled in heaven. It involves the highest responsibility. It condemns all who trifle with its pages. This book is supernatural in origin, eternal in duration, divine in authorship, inexhaustible in meaning, perfect in precept, universal in readership, personal in application, and powerful in effect. This book is supernatural in origin, eternal in duration, divine in authorship, inexhaustible in meaning, perfect in precept, universal in readership. It is everything that we could ever want. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts both ways. No blade equals it. It survived every attack. I think it's so funny how people in our day and time come up with these ways to kind of prove that the Bible is not accurate or not applicable or it's too old. The Bible just laughs at that kind of stuff. The Bible has been attacked for centuries, for millennia, and it has survived every single attack. There's no book equal to it. It is life. It is a hammer. It is a seed. It penetrates darkness. It breaks opposition. It will melt and consume. It is incorruptible. It uplifts. It upholds. It builds, sustains, orders your steps, gives hope. It shows us his will. I'm not done yet. The word of God produces fruit, convicts sin, converts souls, cleanses the conscience, corrects the wrong, supports the right, conquers all foes. Read it, heed it, desire it, and preach it. Rightly divide it, live it, suffer for it, use it, and if need be, die for it. Amen. It's the Bible. Know it in your head, store it in your heart, show it in your life, sow it in the world. There's no wonder the devil hates the Bible. And he keeps trying to come up with new ways to deface the Bible. But at Promised Land San Marcos, we stand strongly on the Word of God. We're going to preach it. We're going to believe it. The literal parts, the prophetic parts, the parables, and the core message of Jesus Christ. Let me just say this, though. All that stuff I just rattled off to you, none of it happens unless you open it and read it. It can sit on your coffee table, on your end table, and you could put it in a Ziploc and put it in the shower with you. Nothing is going to happen until the Word gets into your mind and your heart. That's the power of God's Word. The power of God's Word as a literal book that sits somewhere. It doesn't have magic floaty dust coming out of it that's going to sanctify your house or give some sort of twinkle dust or whatever you call it all over your house because you've got the Bible in your house. You got the Bible in your car. Now it's on your phone. It's all that. It only comes alive when you open it and begin to digest it into your thinking and into your heart. So I want to encourage you, get out that Bible and begin to read it. And don't get bogged down trying to figure out, well, I don't understand that part. I've been reading the Bible my entire life. I've read the Bible through cover to cover 5 times. I read it every day for personal devotion and to study for the messages on Sunday. And there's parts like this week I opened it up and I was reading. I don't understand that part right there. Lord, help me. Why did you say that? I don't understand it. But that's not going to keep me from ingesting it and reading it. Hey, if I don't understand it, you know what the good news is? I'm not God. If I understood and could conquer everything in the Bible, then who would be God? That would be me. But there's something out there that's bigger than me, that knows more than me, that's been around longer than I have, that will be around much longer than anything else that is existing on this earth today. And I can get into his word. I can begin to read it and let it shape who I am. Amen. John 10:7. This is the core message of Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them." John 10:9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." That's a beautiful text right there. I am the door, and if anyone enters in by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. You know, there's nothing more peaceful than seeing sheep in the pasture, grazing on the beautiful green grass, and there's a little water there for them to drink on. They're just hanging out in the pasture. When we went to Jerusalem a couple years ago, there's still sheep grazing on the side of the road as you drive into Jerusalem, and there's still shepherds out tending to those sheep in 2015. They're still out there. When you look at that environment of a sheep just grazing in the pasture, not worried about anything else in the entire world, just hanging out, eating some grass, not worried about predators, not worried about, is there going to be any grass? I wonder if there's going to be grass tomorrow. I wonder if there's going to be grass next week. No, the sheep just hanging out, eating grass and getting some water every once in a while and being loved on by the shepherd. And that's what Jesus says, if you will follow me, I'll be your shepherd. All you're going to do is just hang out and eat some grass. You're just going to be. You're just going to be. He's going to be my son. You're just going to be my daughter. You're just going to have, you're going to be, you're going to find pasture. You're going to find that peace that you've been looking for. Come to me. I am the door. I will usher you into pasture. I will usher you into a life that's going to be fulfilling for you and helpful for you. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. That's what Jesus is speaking to everybody in here today. Everybody watching online today, struggling with your past mistakes, wondering how you might possibly make it another year, a month. Some of you are trying to figure out, how can I make it another day? How can I make it to the end of today? Well, you haven't come to a pep rally today for me to cheer you on. You can go, 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 go. That's not what today's all about. Today's not a game show. Today's not an infomercial. I'm not a self-help guru telling you, we'll take this step and these 10 steps, and then by that, then you'll go to these 5 steps, and you're going to get to this level. No, that's not what today's all about. You're sitting in the house of the Lord. You're sitting in a church where we believe that the answer is not another ritual, it's not another superstitious thing, it is Jesus Christ. It is a man. Salvation is no longer a process, salvation is a person, his name is Jesus. Believe on Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And the awesome thing about Jesus is that he takes things that are in your future that you're scared about. So many people live in a difficulty of what's going to happen in the future. Well, when this happens in the future, then these bad things are going to happen to. We live in fear, anxiety, depression, and heaviness, thinking about what's going to happen in the future and struggling with what we might do when these things happen. Let me tell you, when Jesus comes into your life, he is going to help you in a way that many of those things are going to go away because he supernaturally takes them out of your life. So you do not have to worry about them anymore because he will remove them from your life. Jesus is supernaturally able to do that in your life when you put your faith and your trust in him. But let me tell you, there's going to be some things that he allows to stay in your life, and you can see them on the horizon, but you don't have to be afraid, because when Jesus is on your team, when Jesus is your Savior and your Lord, he will walk with you through every single trial, every single difficulty, and no matter who you are, where you're going, he's going to help you. He's going to be there with you. That's the power of Jesus Christ. So we welcome you into the family today. We welcome you into the church today. Come on in. The weather's good over here. Come on in. We welcome you. We're not here to condemn you. We're not here to judge you. We're not here to tell you all the things of why you've done this wrong and that wrong. Instead, we're here to love on you. We're here to listen to you. We're here to pray for you. We're here to help you, encourage you, cook for you, help you move. The Wilsons just moved down from Washington State. They're in a RV, and they just found a house in Kyle. We want to help you move into the house today. If anybody wants to help them move today, come on, help us. Help them move today. Jesus Christ is the answer. He's absolutely the best answer, and we're not ashamed of it. We're not embarrassed of it. Every time you turn on the news or anything else, you're going to hear all these other ways, all these other doors, all these other options in life. At church, we're not here to entertain you and do all this kind of stuff and then barely slip in and whisper Jesus. That's not what we're going to do. We're going to tell you from the get-go, it's Jesus. And it's not a secret. You don't have to come here for months and months and months. And then we're going to the message never changes. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work. I wish I had time to just stay on this verse, maybe next week. How about that? I'm not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is the power. If you want to know what the power is, it is the good news of Jesus. And if you say, well, I knew about Jesus, but my life ain't changed yet, it's because you know Jesus in your head. You've memorized scripture. People have talked to you about Jesus. And some people can just spit off all of these facts about Jesus because it's all in their head. But it's never really worked its way down into your heart. The gospel is not into your heart. It's just head knowledge. But this is what the gospel of Jesus Christ, when the gospel of Jesus goes from something that you just know and something that you can just say or something you can just spout off, and when it trickles its way and begins to work its way and massage its way down into your heart, you say, oh yeah, Jesus is everything that I need. He is everything that I need. I was just speaking to someone earlier today, talking to me after the first or second service, talking to me about how the gospel is working his way down inside of his heart, not even realizing it. It's just he's been coming here for about a month, about 6 weeks, and God has just been working on his heart, changing his attitude, changing his desires. He was just saying, smoking and all the time, all day, every day. And then he's just saying, I just realized I haven't smoked in weeks. I said, well, how long have you, I don't even know. God has delivered me from the addiction of smoking. That's awesome. I told you I was going to tell your story. It's amazing what the power of God can do in your life when you open up your life to him. If you open up your life to him, Jesus, come into my life, take over my life. We're going to pray this in a minute. I want to give you all an opportunity to pray that prayer. Come into my life, Jesus. And every week, I really don't know if anybody's doing it or not, because every time y'all do it, it's quiet. But I love hearing people's testimonies of Gerald and others that say, that was the Sunday I prayed that prayer. From that day forward, my life was changed because I gave my heart to Jesus. And from that day forward, it made a difference. That's the message. The message will never change. But the method will change. That's how we tell the message. God's called us to be fishers of men. I love fishing. I love going out. I love catching fish, actually. I don't really like fishing, but I like to catch fish. God's called us to be fishers of men. He's calling us, and back in those days, it was throwing out a net. It was casting a net and drawing it in. Today's date, it's mostly rod and reel, throwing it out and putting something out there. So another way God, another analogy Jesus uses is sowing seed. We're just throwing it. We're just throwing it. We're just throwing it. Someone's going to land on good soil and others. We're just throwing out the bait. We're just going to see. Is there anybody out there catching it? And every once in a while, whoa, we got one. That amazing feeling. Here comes somebody there. They're interested in God. And so we want to share with them and talk to them and pray with them and help them out. And here they come. Here they come. And they got a little issue. They got some things going on. And fish are messy. Fish are stinky. Fish, the idea of fish is wonderful, but once you get them in the boat, it's kind of messy and it's kind of hard. But this is what Jesus does. He says, you get them in the boat and I'll clean them up. You just get them in the boat and I'll clean them up. And so here's what happens, though, is that we're fishing for a while and then we're not catching any fish and we're not afraid to change the bait. If this bait's not working, we're going to try some other bait. If this net is too small, we're going to find a bigger net. If this net has some holes in it, we're going to fix the holes in the net so we can get more fish in the boat. We're going to keep on fishing. We're going to keep on changing the way we fish, how we fish, when we fish, where we fish. We're going to change all that, but we're never going to change the message of Jesus Christ. And so people come to Promised Land, and sometimes they struggle because change is just the way of life around here. We change all the time. We change, in the early days, we changed location. A couple weeks ago, we changed locations. We couldn't meet here a couple weeks ago, so we changed locations over at Embassy Suites. But we changed the music style. We changed creative elements. We changed the music style, preaching style. I'll preach any style I need to preach. If this style is not working, I'm gonna switch gears and sit on a stool. You know, short sleeve shirt and jeans, shorts. I don't care. I'm gonna preach the good news. Sometimes I get a black suit on and a tie. I'm going to change. I'm going to do whatever I can. I'm going to change the method, but never change the message. Advertising, social media, technology, outreach events, trunk or treat, prison outreach, homeless outreach, nursing home outreach, small groups, leadership structure, new membership, class. All those things are flexible. All those things change. We bought property, then we added service, then we changed the service. We changed service times. In 12 years, we've changed the service times probably 12 different times. So things change. And that's just the culture of the way we are. So just don't be afraid. Don't be married to that one thing. Don't be married to the method. Be married to the message. And some things are going to change, but not the message. So we've been looking forward to the next 5 years, thinking, what's God going to do? We kind of take it in five-year chunks. We took it in five-year chunks all throughout this life of our church. And we got to this year and we said, what's God want us to do the next 5 years? It just so happens that 5 years from now is 2020. So what's the 2020 vision of Promised Land San Marcos? And we began to think about where God could be leading us, how God could expand our capacity, how he could what change, what methods need to change in order for us to get the message out. So here is one idea that we have about the next 5 years. Check it out.
When I think of the huge task before us, it can be so daunting. Several years ago, God spoke to us through a prophet saying that our church would reach 10% of our local area. That adds up to around 5,000 people. 5,000 people, that sounds so impossible with the little resources that we have. I immediately think to another story of reaching 5,000. They gathered to hear Jesus preach, and after a full day, they were famished. Disciples asked Jesus what to do, and he simply responded, "You feed them." It's impossible. We don't have enough stuff. But what if we simply give God what we have? What could he do with our little amount? What kind of miracle could he work with our obedience? Promised Land's going to go from 1,000 people on Sunday to 5,000 people on Sunday. just like we went from 30 people on Sunday to 1,000 people on Sunday. Give Jesus what we have and see what he can do with the rest. We have to get creative and think beyond what is normal or easy. What if we added another service, but instead of hosting it at Lime Kiln, we went to a new location? What if we took Promised Land San Marcos, our church family, to them? The same preaching, the same singing, small groups, leadership structure. The same church at two or three or four locations. If that were the case, where would we begin? Right now, we have 249 people on our mailing list for the Lockhart-Luling area. Many of them are traveling 30 to 45 minutes to church. However, there are hundreds of folks who live in that region that are unable to consistently travel that far. We have a plan that will take our Spirit-filled, life-giving church family to the Lockhart area. Our leaders, our speakers, our church atmosphere and culture, to launch a new campus in September 2016, where we can reach more people with the gospel message. Over the next few months, we're going to challenge our congregation to join us on this amazing opportunity to expand the reach of Promised Land. So much has been accomplished since we started in San Marcos, and we're not done yet. We are honored and humbled to be in this position God has blessed us with, a place of influence to effectively build his kingdom. Are you ready?
All right, y'all, you ready? There was a clip in there, I don't know, some of you guys that have been around for a while, there's a clip in there where Erica was on stage sitting with Rowena and Lorraine and a couple other ladies. And we sent out Harry and Rowena to plant a church in South Austin earlier this year. And then we sent Rudy and Lorraine out to Waco a few years ago. And they're both doing really, really well. But we see in the next 5 years us expanding our capacity here in Promised Land, not by planting new churches, but planting multiple locations of the same church. So it'd be me as a pastor and the other pastoral staff, and we're gonna have to add on other people to help us with this. But by September of next year, we hope to launch that first one in Lockhart. So I want you to help us pray about that. That's a big, big, big endeavor. We'll need about 150 people to say Lockhart's our main campus that we're gonna attend. And we'll have events like First Wednesday, we'll still be all together, and other things with students and summer activities will be together, but we'll expand and have capacity to have Lockhart and other areas in the future to expand our church facility. So would you help me pray about that? In fact, why don't we just stand right now? We're going to close in prayer. And whether it's you that God's calling, last week I really felt impressed that some folks were being called to international missions. And for those of you that don't know, Jeff Duncan and his family are from New Braunfels. And his parents started Tree of Life Church many years ago, and his brother now is pastoring Tree of Life New Braunfels, which we love and we're partnering with. And you felt the call of ministry to go down to Mexico. And there's some people in our church that might be feeling the call to go to another country. And I really felt that last week. There was just a real interesting move last week that God may be knocking on the doors of some people's hearts saying, I want you to go. Whether maybe short-term, maybe long-term missions. If that's the case, we want to pray with you. We want to believe God with you. But there's some folks in here today, before you can even get that far, before you can even think about living a life of such great magnitude, you're just sitting here today, how am I going to get through today? How am I going to get through this week? I want us to pray right now that Jesus would just enter into our being, enter into our thoughts, into our hearts, into our mind. But we don't want him to stop at our mind. We want him to invade us, to take over. And it's a prayer we're going to pray right now that's a prayer of surrender, saying, Lord, I give up the control of my life from this day forward. From this moment forward, I'm going to give it to you, God. I'm going to trust that even though I don't understand all the details of it, I'm going to trust, God, that you're going to take care of me. You're going to help me. I want in on your family. I want in on your family name. You know, Jesus is ready, willing, and able right now to welcome you into his family, to welcome you into the family of God. No questions asked other than, are you ready to die out to the old you and be reborn a new you? That's really what this is all about. It's the end of the old you. It's the end of you being in control, you being the president, CEO of your life. It's the end of you being the main character. And now Jesus is going to be the main character of your story. You're going to be a supporting cast member. He's going to take the reins. He's going to take center stage. Questions, hills, mountains, successes are all going to come from him, through him, by him. So let's pray right now. Would you join with me? I can't pray this for you. I am going to pray, but if you want God in your life, if you want God to be the Lord of your life, and you need to talk with him yourself one-on-one, just like he's sitting there or standing beside you. If you're watching online, why don't you pray this with us as well? He's present with you just like he is in this building. Heavenly Father, we come to you today with an open mind and an open heart. We declare right now, we confess with our mouth right now that you, Jesus Christ, are the Lord of my life. That you're the Savior of my life. There's nothing else or no one else that I want to put in front of you, Jesus. Even ourselves, would you just spend a moment right now just saying, Lord, I get out of the way. I humble myself today, God. I take control of my life and I willingly hand it over to you. Take control of my life today. Take control of my life today. Please forgive me of any sin in my life. Please forgive me of all the sins of my life. Anything that has separated me from you, Jesus Christ, I believe today is a new day, and you're going to forgive and erase and cleanse me from the brokenness of my past. I believe there's some people here this morning that have been done wrong by other people. You've been a victim. And maybe you're finding yourself in a position today that's difficult, and it wasn't because of anything you did, but it's because somebody else sinned against you. And you've been thinking, who am I? God must really hate me if he has allowed this to happen. Jesus wants you to know today he loves you. He's going to restore you. He's going to take the pieces of your life that someone else has left, and he's going to turn you into someone that's going to be better than you ever imagined or dared hope to imagine it could be possible. Let's just surrender that to him right now. Lord, we surrender our past to you. We surrender our present to you, God. Take us as clay in your hands and mold us into a masterpiece, God, that only you can do. God, we believe that you're the great potter and we are the clay. Take us, shape us, craft us into a way where we could be useful and purpose-filled and meaningful. We could have a rich life, a deep life, a meaningful life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you would like further prayer today, there'll be some folks praying at the front. You're welcome to come down and pray with them. Take them by the hand. Pray with you. If you'd like to be baptized today, maybe you've given your heart to God, but you've never been baptized. At Promise Land, we offer baptism at the end of every service. We offer the clothes, the towels, the pastor, the water, everything. You need to be baptized. So if you'd like to be baptized today, we welcome you to come to the front. We'll answer questions about baptism. We'll baptize you, take pictures of you, love on you, answer questions that you might have. Please drop by and see the table and visit the the Mexico table. Grab a Christmas ornament for yourself or for a friend. Invest in Mexico missions. We love you. You're dismissed. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.